Good morning and welcome to our service this morning. Glad you could make it out. It's a beautiful sunny morning, although maybe a little bit chillier than we're used to. But if we would just take a moment to greet each other and give each other a nice warm hug or a good handshake. Going to be reading from 1 Chronicles, chapter 16, verses 31 to 34. It says, "Let the heavens be glad, let the earth rejoice, let all the nations say, it is the Lord who reigns. Let the vast seas roar, let the countryside and everything in it rejoice. Let the trees and the woods sing for joy before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love and his kindness go on forever." You're welcome. Psalm 66, verses 1 to 5 says, "Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing of his glorious name. Tell the world how wonderful he is. How awe-inspiring are your deeds, O God. How great is your power. No wonder your enemies surrender. All the earth shall worship you and sing of your glories. Come see the glorious things God has done. What marvelous miracles happened to his people."
Join me in prayer. Lord, you are worthy of our praise. Creator, sustainer, in you we live and move and have our being. And now into you we move in this hour. Speak to us. Amen.
Our responsive reading this morning is on the yellow insert in your bulletin. We're going to be reading from Psalm 138, verses 1 to 8. "I will praise you, O Lord, with all my heart. Before the gods, I will sing your praise. When I called, you answered me. You made me bold and stout-hearted. May they sing the ways of the Lord, for the glory of the Lord is great. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. You stretch out your hand against the anger of my foes. With your right hand, you save me.
Father God, we give you thanks for this beautiful and glorious day. We give you thanks for all your blessings towards us. Receive now from us these, our tithes and offerings. Lord, we offer them back to you for your kingdom work. Bless them, we pray. Multiply them for your kingdom work. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us pray. Let us gather our hearts and minds in prayer this morning. And by way of our first prayer, we have a little announcement to make. On August the 26th this year is the scheduled birth date of Ryan and Lisa's first child. Congratulations, Lisa and Ryan. We have much to give thanks and praise for. Let us praise our God for his many blessings upon us. Father God, we give you thanks for this beautiful day. Every day is a new day. Your mercies are new every morning. And Lord, we give you thanks for this wonderful day and this time to be together this morning in your church, in your building that we have dedicated for worship. And we've dedicated our hearts for worship too. So Lord, we give you thanks for this wonderful announcement this morning. as you bring a new life into the world. Lord, we pray your blessing upon Lisa and Ryan in these months ahead, and particularly on Lisa for her health and for her happiness through this pregnancy. Lord, we just pray your blessing of peace upon them both. Father, we give thanks for your answers to our prayers all along as we see Marge and Al are here this morning, Lord, recovering from their surgeries. Lord, we just give you thanks and praise, and Shirley too. Lord, we just give you thanks and praise for the medical science that we have at hand that brings healing to us, Lord. And we just pray your blessing as the wounds and the sutures all heal in all these surgeries. We just give you thanks and praise for that, Lord. Lord, we lift up to you now Tammy, who fell recently and hurt her hip. Lord, we just pray that she'll be recovering soon. Lord, we pray for a friend of Tammy, Jonathan, who has pneumonia and is in intensive care at South Lake. Lord, we just pray your blessing upon him. He's only 18 years of age. Lord, we pray for healing. Lord, we pray advance for Dave Evans, Lord, for his surgery on February the 26th. Lord, may that surgery go well, and may he recover very quickly. Are there any other prayer requests that anybody has this morning? Okay. And what's his name?
David.
Thank you, Jeff. Does anybody else have a prayer request? Roy, do you have a prayer request this morning?
Sue got the prayer for her ankle.
Okay. Thank you, Roy.
She's still in the wheelchair. She's still got me healing from her ankle.
Okay. Thank you. Does anybody else have any prayer requests? Let us pray then. Father God, you've heard Jeff's request for prayer for his nephew, David. Lord, we just ask you now to reach out and touch him in Calgary, Lord, and to heal his wounds, heal his damaged body, Lord, and particularly, Lord, for his lungs and the pneumonia that has beset him. Lord, we pray you will surround him with guardian angels. Lord, we pray that the surgeons and nurses will take care of him. And Lord, we just pray that you will bring him quick and miraculous healing. Lord, we lift him up to you. And Lord, we pray again for Roy's friend Sue and her ankle. Lord, we know that you are healing her as each day goes by. Lord, we just pray your blessing upon her for complete healing and complete restoration to walking. Lord, we give thanks for Roy, for his heart, for his friends. Lord, we pray your blessing upon him too. And now in the quietness of our hearts, let's just lift up to the Lord those private things, those private supplications that we want to give to our Heavenly Father. Father God, hear our prayers of praise and thanksgiving and our prayers of supplication. Lord, we lift them up to you in the holy name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. You probably noticed that the days have started to get longer. Hooray! But that just means the snow will melt and we've got to cut grass for the next 6 months, right? Instead of shoveling snow. The ancient or the Anglo-Saxon word for this season of spring is lengthen. And it refers to the lengthening of days. And it's from that word that we get in the church history, in the church tradition, is the season of Lent. That's all the word means. It just means the lengthening of days. And we are in that season now. It sort of passed unnoticed on Wednesday as we entered into Ash Wednesday and the 40 days of preparation for Easter. And it's a long tradition that precedes the church of this idea of 40 being a season of preparation. The flood was there for 40 days. The Bible tells us 40 days of the flood while God cleansed the earth in preparation for what he wanted to do next. Moses spent 40 days up on the mountain with God as God was giving him the Ten Commandments. And Moses spent 40 years in the desert with the Jews when they wouldn't go into the Promised Land. Again, a time of preparation. God was preparing the following generation to take the Promised Land. Elijah traveled for 40 days to reach Mount Horeb. Jonah preached 40 days and Nineveh will be destroyed. One of the shortest sermons on record and one of the most effective sermons on record, because they were converted, they repented, and Nineveh was saved. But 40 days was the sermon. Jesus spent 40 days in the wilderness before starting his ministry. 40 days where he was fasting and praying and being tempted by the devil. So 40 days is a key time period in biblical stories. And the Christian church in its various different forms sets aside this season. Some churches will have a purple color in their church from this Sunday for the next six Sundays. Purple representing a time of mourning, a time of preparation, a time of somber reflection. And I would urge each one of us to consider this as an opportunity now. We're only 6 weeks from Easter, 6 weeks today, and it's a time of preparation. I hardly feel that we can jump up and sing praise, the praise songs for Resurrection Sunday if we haven't spent time in preparation. So this is a season now for us to regather our thoughts, our daily prayer times, our Bible reading times, and take God seriously for the next 6 weeks so we can truly embrace and participate in the resurrection on Easter Sunday. We do well to set aside this time and to make it a priority, and remove some of the distractions from our life so we can focus on God. We must decide again to make following Jesus a priority. And our text today is from Luke 5, and it's about an opportunity that the first four disciples had to follow Jesus. And we get a sense of a little bit of reluctance in this text initially, but we see what happens when they decide to follow Jesus and do what he says and obey him. So we're in Luke chapter 5, starting at verse 1. One day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, with the people crowding around him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on you will catch men." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. The word of the Lord. When we look at the biblical texts, we come across these stories of Jesus wandering around. He was an itinerant preacher. And at the beginning of the story, there's nothing particular going on, nothing particularly noteworthy. It's an ordinary day in this story, the ordinary comings and goings of people in a fishing village. And Jesus is preaching and teaching. And this is what he did. As I say, he's an itinerant preacher, and he would go from town to town, village to village, preaching the good news of God's love for them. It's an ordinary day. The local fishermen had come in from a night of fishing. And this time it hadn't been a particularly productive night. But that would happen from time to time. But the chores still needed to be done. And they sat in their boats cleaning their nets, preparing for the following night of fishing. And Jesus comes along the scene, walking along the shore. A large crowd gathers to listen to him. He must have been a very powerful man to listen to. His words just drew people to him. He needed a better vantage point from which to address the crowd, so he hops into one of the boats and asks the owner to push out a little from the shore so he has room back from the crowd so they could all see him and all hear him from his vantage point. In fact, if you go, just a sidebar here, if you go into an Anglican or Catholic church and you see the pulpit, it can be up on the side and it can be pointed in a very traditional format. That's meant to be the pointy end of a boat. It's symbolic of Jesus standing in the boat and preaching to the crowd. So if you ever go into one of those older churches that has one of those pulpits, that's where it comes from. That's the symbolism that's of that idea of a pulpit being up high where the preacher can preach. It comes from this idea of Jesus being in a boat preaching to the crowd. So he gets into the boat, pushes out a little from the shore so people can see him and hear him better. Now the fishermen probably stayed in the boat, continuing their work of cleaning their nets while Jesus was teaching, and they'd listen in on what he had to say. So it was a fairly common scene here, nothing very out of the ordinary. And when Jesus finishes speaking, he just makes a simple statement. It's a kind of an instruction, but it's not quite an order. Perhaps if we read it with different inflection, it sounds more like an invitation. He says to Peter, put out into deep water and put down your net for a catch. Now, Jesus was a preacher. His trade, his upbringing was carpentry. He was not a fisherman. Now, Peter and the others who owned the boats, they were fishermen. They owned the boats, they owned the tackle. They knew the water, they knew the lake, they knew fishing. So it's not a surprise that Peter's initial response wasn't quite a refusal, but it was a fairly strong counter-statement. We've already worked hard all night, Jesus. We've been there, we've done that, okay? And now it's daytime, it's time to rest, it's not the right time for fishing. No doubt they could have made any other excuses. We have to get ready for tonight's fishing. I've got appointments. My family's expecting me home. I have to run down to the mall. Well, maybe not that excuse, but an excuse for not doing what Jesus invited them to do. And we're all like that. We get an invitation to participate in something and we've got immediately click, 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 a list of excuses, reasons why I can't do that at this time. But Peter acquiesced. He accepted Jesus' invitation to move out into deep water and drop the nets. And up until this point, nothing extraordinary had happened. But because Peter obeyed, because people said, yeah, okay, I'll do that. Simple request, something I can actually do. He wasn't asking Peter to do anything Peter was not able to do. He was well able to do this. Later on, he asks him, or he bids him to come and walk on water. But this time, it was just a fishing. Just go out into the deep water and drop the net. But because he obeyed, there was this extraordinary result. It wasn't just a catch of fish. But it was a catch of fish that filled two boats almost to overflowing. to sinking, the scripture says. Jesus had just asked Peter to do a very ordinary thing, something he went out every night to do. He just changed the picture a little. Let's go out in the daytime. Let's go out to the deeper water and watch extraordinary things happen. Peter could have said no, as any of us can. Like I said, we've all got excuses. Too busy, too tired, been there, done that. It won't work if we do that. We've tried it before. I don't like it. Endless lists of reasons why not to do something. But when God calls, when Jesus asks, he doesn't force, he doesn't order, he invites us. He invites us at times to move out of our safe zone, to move out of the familiar, just like he did with Peter. The familiar pattern for Peter was to fish at night, mend nets during the day, and be prepared for the next night. Jesus said, no, do it a little differently. We'll go fishing in the daytime and we'll go to deeper water. Peter was invited to move away from the safety of the shore where his boat was and go into deep water, which is more dangerous. He was invited to do something in the day that he would normally do during the night. Unfamiliar, but very capable of doing it. The question here is obedience. And the result of the obedience was an abundance. If he had stayed with the familiar, he'd have gotten the familiar catch. Every so often bringing in a good load, some days, some nights like this one, bringing in nothing. And the pattern would have continued. But because he obeyed, because he said, okay, I'll do this unfamiliar thing, I'll do this unusual thing, the obedience brought an abundance. As scripture says, more than we can ask or imagine. And this pattern followed the disciples the rest of the time they followed Jesus. In Mark 16:20 it says, then the disciples went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by the signs that accompanied it. Once they began to move out with the Lord and go out and do what he wanted them to do, it was accompanied by the signs and the miracles that went along with it. They were bearing fruit for the kingdom as they moved out in trust and obedience. John 15:8, Jesus says to the disciples, this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. All the way through, that's the familiar pattern. The fruit is evidence of discipleship. If we are to be true disciples ourselves, then we will be making other disciples. That will be the fruit of all of our ministries. We'll be more and more disciples coming to Jesus Christ. But we're going to have to move away from the familiar. We're going to have to take up God's call to let go of the past and past patterns and trust God to lead us out to deeper water, away from what is familiar and comfortable. We've got to learn to lose sight of the shore. You know, the old story when people would emigrate from the old world, the Europe, they would stand at the back of the ship watching the coastline of their familiar country go down past the horizon. And then they'd go to the front of the ship and wait for the new world to come up over the horizon. But they had to get out away from the safety of the known, away from the safety of the shore, and out into deep water. I often wonder sometimes in reading the scripture what other events that took place in Jesus' life that were not recorded. Those who invited to do something or join him who refused and said, no, not today, sorry, can't do that, too busy. The very last part of John's Gospel, John 21:25, says, Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have enough room for the books that would be written. So there were many, many other stories in Jesus' life that we just don't have the records of. But we do have a record that people did fall away. When Jesus laid out the challenge, come on, let's go do this, let's do that. In John 6, verse 66, it says, from this time many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. Sometimes when we're challenged to go do something different, to reach out, to move forward, let go of the past, lose sight of the shore, get out into deep water. No, sorry. I'd just like to stay the way we are. Thank you very much. And so we miss opportunity. We miss the obedience. We lose the abundance. I'm sure over time many people had the opportunity to see Jesus, what he was doing, but they stayed in their comfort zone, refusing to go with Jesus. The Pharisees are a classic example. They could not avoid the miracles. John chapter 9, the man born blind. They just could not get their heads around that. But they would not follow Jesus. In our responsive reading this morning, it says, the Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for us as individuals and us as a congregation in as much as we obey his lead. In as much as we move forward. In as much as we grasp something we can't see yet and say, let's go for it. And that verse from the responsive reading said, O Lord, your love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not abandon the works of your hands. It's God's work. He's doing the work. He invites us to join in it. When Peter let the net down over the side of the boat, he didn't put the fish in the net. God did. All he asked Peter to do was things he knew how to do. Go out in the boat, put over the net, leave the work to God. He'll do the heavy lifting. He will not abandon the work of his hands. Our last verse in our text today from Luke 5. We know the verse, we skim over it too often. It says they dropped everything and followed him. These guys were in business. Peter had a fishing business there, multiple boats, other partners, right there in the text, his partners. He was a businessman. And scripture says he dropped everything and followed him. Such was the impact of this miracle that their lives being focused on being fishermen and being businessmen, that was over. Their priority now was to follow Jesus. Their lives would never be the same again. In fact, all but one of the disciples died because they were followers of Jesus. Judas took his own life. 10 of the others were martyred. And John lived and died a natural death. They died following Jesus. Now, I'm sure they went back to fishing because that was their livelihood, but it was no longer the priority of their life. Following Jesus, preaching the gospel, being part of the early first church, that was their priority. The question, though, is for us. Will we go out into deep water? Will we let go of the past and familiar ways, venture out into deep water, let down our nets, and see what God will do? We can watch and we can witness as Jesus blesses us in abundance. We can expect him, as we obey him, to bless us in abundance. But we have to drop everything that hinders. anything that's holding us back. Hebrews 12:1, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders. Let's let go of anything that's hindering us from moving forward. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. We have to give him everything, hold nothing back. We have to drop everything and follow Jesus. If Peter had insisted in that one invitation Peter put out to move off from the shore, put out into deep water. Oh, Lord, we've been out there all night. We didn't catch anything. Okay, Peter, that's fine. Go on home to your family. They'd have lost the miracle. They'd have lost the miracle. But they didn't. They moved out in faith and obedience, and miracles followed them. Signs followed them wherever they went. If we move out as a congregation, if we move out in obedience to God's leading, perhaps this boat here will be filled to overflowing. Perhaps we'd have so many people coming here, we have to have two boats, two services, three services on a Sunday. Because we move out in faith. While I was preparing this, I wondered what the sort of church analogy was. And we have so many people coming, we have to call one of the local churches and say, I'm sorry, we've got too many people. Can you take some more? Call the United Church, call Keith Taylor from the Nazarene Church, say, guys, like, we're already up to four services and there's standing room only, and I'm sorry, we're going to have to turn people away. Can you take them? That's what the church should be doing in Newmarket. There's 80,000 people here and only 10,000 of them are in church on a Sunday morning. So there's 70,000 people out there today waiting to get on our boat. Are you interested in that? You have to move out into deep water. Move away from the comfortable. Move away from the familiar. Embrace the future. Let us pray. Father God, Jesus, let us hear your invitation. Let us hear you invite us now to move away from the shore, to move out into deep water, to let down our nets and let you do the work of filling them. Lord, let each one of us, in our own way, in our own time, in your time, in your encouragement, let each one of us drop everything and follow Jesus. Let each one of us make Jesus a priority and Jesus call on our life a priority. Lord, fill each one of us with your Holy Spirit, afresh and anew. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon us. Let us catch a vision for what you want us to be. Fill this church, Lord, we pray, to overflowing. 2, 3, 4 sermons, services a Sunday. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake, Lord, have your way in me. As you go from this place today, go knowing God loves you and he's calling you and inviting you to join him in his work. Go now in the peace of God. Amen. Oh, announcements, sorry. Fellowship dinner, March the 2nd, 6 o'clock, RSVP. You got the little purple invitations this morning. Wonderful. RSVP to the church office or sign up downstairs. And next Sunday after our service, our annual meeting, our annual business meeting, at 1 o'clock, and the reports are available downstairs. Bring a packed lunch.